Hello, my name is Fran. Welcome to the Heal Interior Awakening podcast. Feels so good saying that, y'all. I miss y'all. It's been a minute. How y'all doing? I feel slightly guilty because I took so long, but you know, life be lifing, y'all. Life really do be lifing, and I am praying. And I am hoping that at some point in my life, I move forward with the things that I love, regardless if life is lifing or not. Like, life is always gonna life. So I wanna get to a point where I'm just able to just put that to the side and do things that I enjoy doing. I'm one of those people when life happens, everything stops. And I think I go into survival mode a little bit, which is just do the things that bring me comfort while I am anxious still. And then as time progresses, I stray further away from the things that might be difficult, but that brings me joy, i.e. coming here, sharing my life, my thoughts, my experiences, eating healthy, working out, thinking positively, all that good stuff. It's not easy to do, but it brings joy and a lot of fulfillment to me. When one thing happened, I might take a break. You know what? I'm going to take a mental break. And then that mental break becomes weeks and months. And in this instance, close to a year. But I'm back and I missed you guys. I want to start by saying thank you to everyone who took their time to reach out to me. As a life path number six, I know like astrology culture and numerology culture is slowing down, but it's also to a point where it's low-key become toxic. But I'm a life path number six. I'm a Cancer moon. I'm a Cancer rising, community nurturing. My love language is acts of service. So reaching out to me in a moment like this, even people that I didn't really communicate with as much, or people who had just found the podcast, brought me so much joy and fulfillment, and it pushed me to be back in this chair. So I want to say thank you to everyone. I want to say thank you to the people who's allowed me grace. I know I even had this girl who had asked me like, hey, is there anything we can do? And I'm like, no, you good? But I want to say thank you to everyone who thought about me and reached out. I want to say thank you to everyone who came across the podcast, listened, and reached out. I just want to say thank you. Again, being here is not the easiest thing to do because I have to dive and think about things that I try to suppress, but knowing that I'm able to validate, if anything, anyone, even if it's just one person in their experience, brings me so much joy. It's the lemonade to my lemons. It is nothing happened to me coincidentally or by accident. I'm able to empower, connect with people who also experienced things, and I wasn't the one who was experiencing this thing. Like, God, source, the universe, they didn't do me dirty. I chose this life. I am a spiritual being having a human experience, and every single one of you has played a part in that experience. Every single one of you has played a part in me being victorious, and for that, I say thank you. Thank you so much. As I dive further into this, as I dive further into knowing myself, as I connect more to my spirit, I know that this is a big part of my destiny. And I know that God's source, my higher self, my guides are all going to conspire to get me to where I need to get, to be able to impact more, to be able to heal more, do more, help more. And I enjoy being in service, and I look forward to this experience. And sometimes I feel extremely guilty that I strayed away from that which I know God has in store for me. But I know that what is for me will not forsake me, will not leave me. I will not miss it. But it's important that I learn the lessons and I take the time to really dive into who I am. I can't help anyone if I can't help myself first. I can be or do for anyone what I can be and do for myself first. So what you're seeing is someone who experienced trauma, who experienced a spiritual awakening, who is healing, who is awakened in different ways, but healing is not linear. And I continue to evolve. Every time I find myself in a dark hole, I come out even more evolved, even more stronger, even more insightful. I'm grateful for that. But what you're witnessing is someone who is going through it as you are going through it. And I think that's what, I don't know about other bloggers, other podcasters, and what they do or how their story is. I just know about mine. And I want to tell you that I am in the trenches with you. And speaking of trenches, I'm going to explain how I took this time off, what happened to me, and I'm going to be as vulnerable as I can be. And if you're someone who gets triggered by someone speaking about like trauma, I don't know if I'm going to get into trauma. I don't know. I don't write down what I'm going to say. I just come here, I pray about it, and I let God speak through me. So trigger warning, you know what? I don't know what the trigger is going to be, but yeah, shall we begin? So before I start, I'll say this, that I do not listen to my episodes once I've uploaded them. I edit. I might listen to it once, but that's it. So oftentimes when people reach out to me and they're talking about a particular episode, I still have the same beliefs or similar beliefs, or I might remember how I felt at that time, but I'm not able to like go into things verbatim because I'm an overthinker. So knowing that something is out there for the world to hear, and knowing that I've poured myself out, can be cringy, you know? So, yeah. So, with that being said, I don't know exactly what I talked about in my last episode, but I do know at that point in my life, I had started the Law of Assumption. I had found a lot of empowerment through it. I went from waiting on God, Source, the universe, my ancestors to look out for me, to really taking power of my life. However, I still struggle with the old way of thinking, the old pattern. I was reprogramming my mind, and in reprogramming, you meet glitches. And I want to start this episode by also saying that, or reiterating that, your body is a survival machine. Your brain is like a computer. It computerizes everything and it signals to your body. The light within you, the essence of God within you, is the operator of that body, operator of that machine. But we are placed on this earth and we have forgotten our true essence. So we sometimes allow the body, which is a survival machine, which is constantly going to alert us. And this alert is coming from past experiences, traumatic experiences or whatever. So it's like your brain, your body is going to constantly trying to remind you to, oh, this is not safe. Boom. And then we forget that we get to operate, we get to turn the direction this body goes into. And this happens to me quite frequently. And at times I completely forget my position. And then there are times where I come back into that understanding and knowing. So that's basically, in a nutshell, what happened, but I'll dive into that. So I was trying to manifest about three main things, when I took my break. And it didn't happen at that time. And it put me in a hole. I was trying to get myself back from that hole. I'm not sure if I talked about it in a podcast. At the end of the year also, I had a little thing with my mom. My mother is somebody who is highly delusional, extremely toxic. I don't think in this lifetime, self-awareness is something that is going to manifest for her. And I had spoken to my therapist about this, and we talked about the mother wounds, where it was like, you mourn the relationship that you crave, right? And I was dealing with that, and I thought I was fine. My mother is, and still to an extent, is a sensitive point in my life. So, minding my business, and then I received a call from my brother. I have a brother, and I have a little sister from my mother's side. My little sister and I's relationship, it's not great. It's non-existent, actually. And being the mean that I want, the person who is always trying to look at things and relationships from rose-colored lenses, I have created more than what it is out of these relationships, because that's what I want. So my brother calls me. Again, like, I try my best and I reach out to my brother, and just to let him know that that door is still open, like, I still want that. And I hadn't spoken to my brother maybe a year. In those years, I would, like, send him a message, and I would end it by saying, I miss you, I love you. And then he would be awkward. He would be like, yeah, and then he would change the topic. But I noticed it, but I still wanted that. I really wanted it. And so he calls me, and I'm excited, and he tells me he's in New Jersey. Coincidentally, was going to New Jersey that weekend to go help out a friend. So I tell him I'm going to come. And then he was like, well, I'm supposed to be leaving on Friday, but I'll leave on Sunday. I'll postpone my flight, which he then did. And then when I went to see my brother, my mom happened to be there. I think he went to go see my mom. I hadn't spoken to my mom for months. But because of my brother, I went. Like, I wasn't going to miss out on seeing my brother. I hadn't seen my brother since I was 13. My brother was about 5 or 6, and I hadn't seen him. There was a lot of emotions there, but I went. I went to my brother, and I literally bawled my eyes out. Like, when I saw him, it was overwhelming. While there, my grandmother is there, my mother is there. It was a good reunion, but as I'm crying, my grandmother's like, keep it down. keep it down. I have old folks that live in this home. Completely, like, detached from seeing, like, her granddaughter and her grandson reuniting after decades. But I didn't think much of it in that time. Again, like, I was just so focused on the emotions that I had with seeing my brother after those years. So, a quick backstory. My mom had a relationship with someone who was married, who's my stepfather. Out of that relationship came my brother. And according to her, when she found out he was married, she wasn't being treated well. She had went to Nigeria. My mom is Liberian, but she had went to Nigeria for schooling. My mom lies so much to the point that I don't know what is real and what is not. So I don't know, but I would say what I do know, right? What I was told. So when she went there, she went to my stepfather has 4 girls with his wife and wasn't able to have a boy. Now, Africans believe in male children. So my mom said she did not know she was pregnant, but because the relationship wasn't going well, she came to Liberia. And while in Liberia, mind you, she's still in a relationship with my dad at that time. He had his own thing going on, but yeah, she came to Liberia pregnant with my brother. My dad, you know, claimed the baby, even though he hadn't seen my mom for maybe years. Like, while living in Liberia, I barely saw my mom. She was back and forth. So, she had my brother. This was during the war, 1996. And my brother's dad got wind of it. She said she didn't know she was pregnant until she found out she was 6 months old. She couldn't do anything about it at that time. Again, the validity of that story is questionable. So I went to Nigeria, and I stayed in Nigeria with my brother for a lot of years. And at that time, even during the time that my mom was there, she was always somewhere. I remember this one time, My mom was a fun person to be around when she chose to be a mom, but the other time she was just like completely unavailable. I remember this one time my mom had told us that we should like get dressed and she was going to take us to an amusement park. It was a Sunday. My brother and I got dressed and we're waiting until the car cools up. We're excited. And then my mom goes to make a call. We had like an office. My stepfather's, he had a company. His company was in the front. We lived in the back. And she came back. My brother didn't know what happened, but I knew she went to go talk to her boyfriend. Came back and told us that we're not going anymore. And we ended up going. So these are things that I experienced, little things like that as a little girl. And my brother might not have experienced it, but I was my brother's keeper in a lot of ways. I felt very protective of my brother. So when we were separated, it did a lot. I still remember exactly what my brother looked like as I looked back on him getting on that plane to go to Liberia, unsure of what was going to happen. I wasn't concerned about myself. I didn't know what his stepmother would do to him because my mother was the mistress. My brother is the only son. So I was just beside myself at that time as a little girl. I remember we heard rumors that my mom was pregnant in Liberia because during that time, my mom went to Liberia for school. She barely came back to Nigeria. So it was just me and my brother. And so much happened in that time. And she had left us with this family friend. The family friend was brought from Liberia to help take care of us. And in that time, so much happened in that house. But again, my brother was my stepfather's son. He was priced. And I was my dad's child, a stepchild. So a lot happened that affected my self-worth. And there was a lot of resentment there towards my mom that I didn't know it was resentment. Trying to give context to the story without going too in-depth. And I hope that I am doing that. So with all that happened, like maybe while I was like 13, I would hear rumors that my mom was pregnant. My mom was having a daughter. She had her boyfriend back then. And I didn't know what the future held for my brother. So seeing him after all those years, I remember right before I went to Liberia and he stayed with his dad, I remember for maybe 2 to 3 weeks, I would hold my brother at night, smelling his hair, trying to remember what he would smell like, what he smelled like so I don't forget. I remember praying to God. I used to make all these, I'm lost for words right now, but like these deals with God and say that if you do this, I'll do this. If you do this, and I made so much, I'm like, just come help. Like, God, please just have my mom come save us. Just have my mom come and take me and my brother so that I'm not away from him. And that never happened. I ended up going to Liberia. I stayed in Liberia and I went to Ghana and then I came to America. But in that time, I lost. This was like before the internet. This was before cell phones. And my stepfather, he was vindictive because he felt like my mom had a boyfriend. She had a kid. So I lost all contact with my brother. My brother was the only form of like family. My mom, my cousins were there, but my cousins were not my brother. My brother was the one person that was born, in Africa we say in my hand. He was born while I was there. We came to Nigeria together, so he was that person for me. So being away from him was hard. It was traumatic, especially not knowing what is happening to him and if he's being treated well. So when Facebook opened, I would send messages to him and just try to like create a relationship with him, but that just never really take hold. So when I saw him, all of those emotions, till this day, as I'm saying this, I'm getting slightly emotional, just thinking about it, I felt it. And my mom was there. My mom and I had somewhat of a strained relationship at that point because, again, I just couldn't keep dealing with her. My mom is someone that throughout my experiences, right? A little bit more context into where me and my mom was when I saw her. 2016, 2019, we became estranged. This was Ebola time, but I called her because everyone was saying that's your mother, and God would want you to talk to your mom because that's your mother. If your mother curses you, that's it. So that was that. So I called her. And then another time, and what happened before, like something had happened where we like got out of touch. Okay, my mom is somebody, if you speak up for yourself, you are disrespecting her. She's a serial dater. She's always dating somebody and they become her world. And she wanted me to speak to one of her boyfriends at that time. And I told her, no, that when you find yourself in a serious relationship, then I will speak to him. This is 2016. So she said, if you can't speak to my boyfriend, then you don't want to speak to me. So I said, okay. So I wasn't speaking to her when Ebola happened. But then everyone was like, oh, no, it's family. It's your mother. People are dying right now in Liberia. Call your mother. So I ignored that part of me that felt was valid in that stance. And I called her and we spoke. While my dad was sick, I became more intentional about caring for him. And she didn't want that. And I had asked her to do something for me. And she said, oh, you do everything for your dad, so let your dad do it for you. And I said, well, if you were in this position, I would do the same thing for you. And after that, we didn't really talk as much because she was, I guess, upset about just by saying that I wished illness on her. So you see, like, if you're a logical person, you're trying to heal and you're dealing with somebody like that who is, it's just so, I don't even know the words. Like, I can't place into words. So my dad died, right? There are other things that happened in there that I don't feel quite comfortable sharing, but I was intentional about just keeping my distance from her. And again, it was nothing so crazy that she couldn't call me or I couldn't call her. I was just intentional about my healing at that time. And talking to her or being around her was not as much of a priority as healing myself. And I knew that I could not do both. So I chose to heal. And my dad died. When my dad died, I did not hear from my mom. And I remember this was the first time in my life that I wanted someone to feel sorry for me and take care of me. And I didn't get that. I healed from that. I don't know if I quite healed, but I carried on from that. So our relationship is strained. Even then, at that time, right? So again, someone talked to me and they said, forget it. You have one parent now. Call her. So I called my mother and I'm talking to her. We're happy. Well, she's happy. And a lot of the things that have happened to me, I brought it up to her. She then blames other people. I was assaulted as a kid. And I was sexually assaulted. I know it's kind of heavy for me to say. And my mom was not there. So I brought it up to her. And I've worked on myself. I'm healing from this. I'm moving forward. And the next week, she blames my cousin who's 2 years older than me. So she was eight. She was about eight. So I was like six and she was eight. And my mom blames my cousin for taking me there. And then, mind you, I'm the one who lived these things and I have great memories. So I remember everything. And then she blames my cousin for taking me there. And then we get to a point where she then lies to herself that she left me in West Point. West Point is a slums for a weekend. And that happened to me. So this is me in my 30-something-year-old body who has worked and done so much intentional healing and moved on from these things. I'm talking to the one person who I wanted, whose relationship, whose love, whose favor I wanted for so many years, gaslighting me. So I'm having to choose. Do I live authentically or do I live conditionally? And the conditions are ignore your truth. ignore the work you've done, ignore what has happened to have a relationship with this person. So that has been my relationship with my mom up until now. In the end of 2022, I was experiencing a lot. And I realized that I could not do both. I could not pretend and work, pretend for the price of a relationship with her. I had just taken like my time, and then she got upset, and then she wouldn't respond to me when I said hi to her, so I just kept my distance. So that was what happened. There's so much more that has happened, but so I don't want to go too deep, but I want to give context to where me and my mother are. And so when I meet her, she's there, she's with my brother. Again, I'm trying so hard to be in the moment, to be present, and not think or be more than what it was. My mom's talking to my brother, and she's in her mode. And I know this mode because I see it with myself. I see how she has villainized everyone but herself. It's everyone's fault but her fault. And then she's telling my brother, like, hey, your dad, I was away because I was treated so poorly by your dad. And he's such an evil man. And your dad used to, just beat me. And she said that one of his dad's friend had died on her birthday. And this man would just wake up in the morning and say, hey, go beat the mistress. Mind you, she didn't tell my brother she was a mistress. I think she lied that she didn't know he was married, all this stuff. So my brother just taking it in, and I'm watching it, and it's so hard to watch because, one, my stepfather wasn't the best person in the world, but I was left. He had his family, but he financially provided for me at a time that my mother and my father didn't. He never treated me unkindly. He didn't put his hands on me. I've heard horror stories about other step-parents. But that man never laid his hands on me or did anything to me. But I'm hearing her. And it wasn't so much about him. It was more about enough. So she's going in, and he's taking it in. And then she brings up this story. Mind you, the reason why my brother ended up becoming really close to the lady that my mom left him with, and she passed now. But the reason why she was so close with him is because she nurtured him even while my mom was there. He doesn't know her. So she's just like, I don't know if I would call her a narcissist. I don't know the right, I'm not here to diagnose her, but she's just, I'm watching it, and it's bringing up horrible memories for myself, just lies. And then the straw that broke the camel's back is she explained this story. She said that my stepfather woke up one day, came to our house, and just beat her up. And I said, you know that's not what happened, right? And she said, that's what happened. I swear on God. I swear on everything. I mean, was so wicked. So I said that he caught you on the phone with your boyfriend. He overheard your conversation, and then he came. When he came, he confronted you, and you guys physically fought. The second time you guys fought, he was explaining the story to my aunt, and you got, like, rowdy with him, and you guys physically fought. Again, I do not condone violence. I do not condone men hitting women or any of the sorts, but it wasn't unprovoked. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether provoked or not, I don't believe in anyone putting their hands, physical violence, I don't believe in that. But she basically said this man would just wake up in the morning and stretch and say, yes, my limbs feel really flexible and in the mood to go punch this woman in the face. So as soon as I said that, my brother's like, yeah, I remember that fight. And I remember a phone call. I remember it was about a phone call. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, I swear to God, call my sister. Call my sister. So we'll call my aunt. And my aunt was like, you guys remember it correctly. And then I'm talking to my brother, and my brother's like, this name keeps popping up. What is what? I know I hated this person. His name was, we used to call him Chalemo. And I'm like, yeah. So me and my brother are catching up, right? And I'm like, yeah, that was her boyfriend. And I remember he used to take up a lot of our times. My mom races from outside, grabs her phone because we're talking to my aunt, takes the phone, run outside, comes back in. You're very disrespectful. Like, she got like rowdy with me. And I'm like, what did I do? So we left it alone. We're moving on. And I can see how I could have triggered her because, like, one of the things my mom was saying, like, oh, when she sends pictures of herself to my stepfather, my brother's dad, he doesn't respond. He's so mean to her. And I'm like, well, your son is well in his 20s. And there is no reason other than high and by. There's no reason why you should be sending pictures to him, especially as a married man, especially since you said he's done these evil things to you. You shouldn't be sending pictures to him to show yourself to, you know, like, why are you showing pictures to him? And so then my brother would be like, yeah. So every single thing she said, not everything, because some of the things I just let her do her thing, but a lot of the things she said, I would, like, it was like a tennis match. Like, I would just be like, pop, nope, that's not what happened. And it took away from my experience there. And my son is there. And again, my mom is trying to be this grandmother that she's not. So she's like nitpicking what I put on my son's. My son has like had a t-shirt and there's a skull on it. And she's like, oh, God doesn't fit. Like, just a mess, you know? And he's there like, because and I also raised my child to be like, but I raised him to speak up if an adult is not, if he's not being treated fairly. So my mom then goes and makes this thing up about my son's birthday, and she completely misses his birthday. And then my son is like, December 12th, right? And she's like, yeah, December 12th, that's your birthday. And he was like, no, that's sad. My birthday is, you know, October 17th. And then, you know, so it's like, I feel like in her way, she felt like we were calling her out. Now I can see how that would have been. But again, I am no longer in a place to lie. I did that a lot. I realized that throughout my relationships with a lot of people, I intentionally disregarded the red flags, the things that was wrong. I wanted connection over authenticity. And that was what I did with my mom. But I was at a place in my life where I could not do it. I was too convicted and too deep into my journey to neglect the experiences of that little girl, of that teenager that had to figure it out. And after that experience, I went to New Jersey. My brother went. My mom then sent me a picture of me and my brother where I had posted like, oh, after 20 something years, I see my brother. Last time I saw him, I was a 13-year-old girl, unsure of our future. And this woman sent me a long paragraph how I'm sick, how I need to find help, how I'm so ungrateful, because how dare I say I was unsure of my future. So basically, again, putting me in a position to, and I was unsure of my future, right? But like in her mind, that was a dig to her. Literally, when she sent me that text, I had to make a choice. And the things I would have said, again, I didn't need to cuss her out, but the things I would have said, I would not be able to take back. So yeah, I told her, I was like, ungrateful? How am I ungrateful? Who am I exactly ungrateful to? I'm not going to go into everything that I said to her, but I ended up the conversation with saying that she sent me a text, said a lot of mean things. And then she said, my son wasted his money to see you. And the only reason I allowed you in this space is because of my son. And he knows now that he wasted his time on you. That was extremely helpful, guys. Like, I was so, like, taken aback by it at that time. And then I responded and I said that, hey, you might lie, because that's what you do, to everyone to remove the guilt that you feel deep inside. And I love my brother. And deep down, he knows that I love him. At some point, he's going to see you for the person that you are, as I have seen you. And I left it alone, and I blocked her everywhere. Called my brother. Never picked up. And guys, that was the start of me spiraling. It was hard because I knew that the decision to speak to her in the way that I did wasn't disrespectful. It was matter of fact. I would have to stand on business after that. And for a relationship that all my life that I've been fighting for. And in a culture that everyone talks about their mother. Mother's Day is one of the greatest days. You see daughters talk about this unconditional love with their mother. You see everyone put their mothers and mother and child relationship on this pedestal. And how much our worth is associated with our source, our mother. And then you find people like me. And I'm sure there are many other people who have to be real with themselves and know that in this lifetime, that's not something they have. It's not an easy thing to experience. So I had to let go of the desire to work towards that relationship, or at least in a way that I would want it. I don't think my mom is a bad person. I think that we all choose our destiny and she's chosen hers. And nothing is accidental, and I chose her to be my mother. But as I've chosen her to be my mother, I am on a journey. And that journey, my experience with her needs to be honest. I need to honor the little girl who experienced all that she did. And in honoring her, and in parenting her, my mother doesn't fit in the equation. And for so long, I lie and I ignore it and I make it make sense. I try to put a square in a circle and I'm like, nah, this fits. And I try to remold it, but it doesn't fit. And it's been hard. It's been hard. On this healing journey, the easier part is letting go of relationship. Like, oh yeah, this man or this woman or this, it's easier to do than to let go of the things that your inner child really, really wants. And my inner child wanted an immediate family to call up my own. I wanted my mom. But there are times where I've needed my mom that my mom has not been there. And I'm not holding on to resentment. I'm not angry. But I had to sit and tell myself, enough with lying to yourself. Let it go. I don't know what the future holds, but at this right now, you need to let it go. And if that means letting go of your brothers and your sister, you have to do that as well. And that has been hard. That made me, like, what she did with me and my brother made me so angry at her. Because how dare you? When I was there, you were not there. The most you did for this boy was give birth to him. How dare you interfere with this relationship? And I think that I fell into a hole because it was like, God, what did I do wrong? Like, I replayed that moment again and again. And there were times where I bit my tongue from that woman. I was like, what did I do wrong? What could I have done differently? Could I have said, yeah, I think I could have said, I could have kept quiet about the whole beating thing. Yes. But it wasn't enough. I feel like whatever happened would have happened at some point anyways. If I was going to live authentically, the healing to awakening friend, if I was going to be her. And not the people pleaser and the codependent Franklin, it would have happened the way it happened. The only way I would have been able to maintain that relationship if I had been a people pleaser, codependent, and betrayed myself. And I paid a price for it. And I had to do a lot of inner child work because literally, I think my therapist, I have therapy every 2 weeks, but my therapist would call me like every week because he would, I was anxious. My body would just shake. And I think it was because of my inner child. I think that version of me really, really wanted a relationship with her mom. And because I had taken that possibility, she did not know what to do. And I had to reparent her. I had to write letters to myself. I had to speak to myself. I had to apologize to myself. It's kind of like when you have a child and you do the right thing for your child, but they don't quite understand it. But now picture that person in you, in your body. It's like good and evil. Or not even just good and evil, because there's no like evil part of you. But the different versions of you, being the version that I am and having to be that guide and protector of me. And paying a price for that. It is me. It's a version of me who wanted her brother, who years and years to get a touch of him, to get to hold him, to get to smell him, and for that to be taken away from her. So that was the trigger in me taking a step back from the podcast. And I want to end this with saying that to everyone who has a strange relationship with their parents, who has had to honor themselves, I know how hard it is. I know how difficult it is, especially with your mother. I know how difficult it is on Mother's Day and how you want that day to go by. I know how it is when you make sacrifices for your child and you remember how those sacrifices were not made for you. Being a mother coming from a traumatic childhood is hard because you're constantly remembering by your own actions, like you're triggering yourself into what you lacked. I know. And I stand with you. I don't know if I have the right words, but I hope that I can validate your feelings by saying that I know you're not alone. And I'm grateful for you as a collective that we're breaking these generational patterns. And sometimes breaking the patterns is removing yourself and creating a new pattern. I saw my grandmother. I saw me crying in front of my grandmother for a brother that I haven't seen in over two decades. And I see her, and the only thing she had to say to that was, keep your voice down. I see how detached she is from being a mother. I see what her actions has done to her kids. I see how toxic my mother and her sister are. Even my uncle, everyone who came from that bloodline, I see them. And I said, no, I'm tired. I can't do it. And I removed myself and I'm creating my own pattern. But that comes with a price. And that price, apart from physical price, there's that inner conflict, that version of you that deeply, deeply wants that. And you have to say, no, it is okay. I got you. I know I can relate. You're not alone. I'm going to end here. It's been a long episode. I just wanted to give context to the relationship. And I'm going to, you know, hopefully next week come back and talk more and more about things that I've learned along this journey. And I thank you for taking the time to listen to this long episode. I try to keep my episode like 30 minutes, and I feel like there's a part of me that I want to just delete this whole thing and start all over because I want it to be detailed and I want it to be controlled, but this isn't. This might be somewhat all over the place, but it's okay. it will reach the right person. So I thank you again. I love you. I look forward to talking to you guys next week. I can be reached at healintoawakening@gmail.com. I am on TikTok at healintoawakening. I am on Instagram at healintoawakening. Y'all, hit me up. Add me. Send me a DM to go on live so we can talk. I'm not quite comfortable because I feel like I've done a lot of damage to myself in the last year, but I feel I've evolved. And this is a journey, and I'm grateful for all of you guys, and I'm committed to it. I might not be consistent, but I'm committed. So yeah, I'll talk to you guys next week. Love you guys. Bye.